From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, November 14th. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri playwrights Katie Lehman and Hazel McIntyre have spent the past several years working on plays that touch on self-discovery, growth, loss, and womanhood after being incarcerated.
You start kind of doing self-discovery archaeology and like, okay, well, I'm feeling something. What is the name of this feeling? Well, maybe we should write a poem about it. Or I need to get my feelings out.
Prison Performing Arts Alumni Association is presenting those plays at a local Black Box theater. More on that story coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis County is putting its own freeze on the Senior Property Tax Freeze program. Its popularity has overwhelmed the software that was specifically designed for it. Software developers are currently upgrading the system to handle the demand. The application process is currently on pause, but is expected to be up and running again by 8 a.m. on Monday. More than 30,000 applications have been submitted since October 1st. The deadline to apply for the program is June 30th, 2025. Two new studies from St. Louis University researchers indicate only a small portion of patients are receiving palliative care. That refers to treatment to manage side effects, symptoms, and mental health issues in people with cancer and other severe illnesses. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports.
Palliative care can also include helping with insurance coverage and other practical support. One of the studies found fewer than 1 in 5 of newly diagnosed patients with heart failure received palliative care consultations. Although research shows it improves the quality of life for patients, study author and SLU School of Medicine research scientist Zidong Zhang says it's rarely offered.
Even patients with worse condition like pancreatic cancer, still just a small portion of them receive properly and timely palliative care.
Zhang also found Black people are significantly less likely to receive palliative care after they're diagnosed with heart failure. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Zoo is testing a new security system to help keep weapons out. The technology is not a metal detector, but is similar to machines at Mercy Hospital and City Park that detect things including firearms and explosives. Billy Brennan is a spokesperson for the zoo. He says the goal is to increase safety without adding too much delay for visitors.
We do anticipate there being a little extra time, but you know, we've been kind of trying to time that and understand that and understand, do we need to have what type of signage and what type of people do we need out to get people prepared for coming in?
Brennan says the zoo is not responding to a specific event. Rather, this is part of its multi-year plan to increase safety for staff, guests, and animals. The board president for St. Louis County's Special School District has stepped down. Katie Potroff said in a statement that she's leaving her position to focus more on her family. She became president in 2023 after being elected to the board in 2019. She did not plan to run for re-election in the spring. Potroff's resignation comes as the school district is dealing with a $50 million deficit and a hiring freeze for this school year. The special school district is the largest in the state that serves students with specialized needs. The Missouri Department of Transportation has a new director. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, the new head of the department has worked there for over 40 years.
The Missouri Highways and Transportation Commission announced that Ed Hassinger will be the new director of the department. Hassinger is replacing former director Patrick McKenna, who served from 2015 to 2024. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in civil engineering. Speaking on why the commission picked Hassinger, Chair Dustin Boatwright said they felt a strong obligation to, quote, ensure continuity during this time of unprecedented project construction.
That requires somebody who can hit the ground running with years of project management experience and a track record of fostering leadership development within the department.
One of the projects MoDOT is in the middle of is expanding Interstate 70 to 3 lanes in both directions. That project is slated to be ongoing until 2030. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis's YMCA is now available on wheels. The Mobile Y is a large trailer loaded with the latest game consoles, mobile DJ units, Steam programming, and more. The Gateway Region YMCA and the city's Office of Violence Prevention teamed up this year to bring the Mobile Y to St. Louis. The goal is to curb youth violence and give families easier access. Chiamaka Onaha is a senior teen program director at the Y. She says the Mobile Y is already a hit with the kids.
other ones are like, I don't have an Xbox, I don't have a PlayStation at home, and I've really been wanting to play this game. These allows me to be there. Or, hey, I met this new person, I made a new friend because of this mobile watch.
ARPA funding for the program lasts through September of 2026. Advocates for a homeless encampment in North St. Louis gathered Wednesday afternoon to pick up trash at the camp. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports it's part of the group's ongoing effort to keep the location open.
Staff and volunteers at New Life Evangelistic Center say cleaning up the garbage prevents the city from shutting down the encampment, where roughly 30 people currently stay. Staffer Anthony Boat of the religious nonprofit says this effort is needed because the city has shut down other locations because of trash.
It's going to happen here just as well as it is in any of the rest of places. It's the unsanitary conditions is just another excuse for them to step in and push them out of this area.
Leaders of the encampment in the Old North St. Louis neighborhood say they had a large donated dumpster until last week. Since, it's disappeared. They're hoping to get another one, and they're in the process of starting paperwork to make that happen. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
For 25 years, Prison Performing Arts has given detainees in Missouri prisons the chance to act and star in theater productions. But what happens after they're released? As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, two alumni members are taking their experiences to Greenfinch Theater in St. Louis today, with plays focused on what it's like to be home.
There's a part in the play Don't Be a Hero, Thank You, where the main character, Kate, remembers her friend Verna, a woman doing life in prison with no chance of parole. Kate knows that Verna may never see her home again.
There are times when I'm struck with crippling grief that I get to have a beautiful sunset on my back porch, but Verna may never have that again. So many people won't.
LaWanda Jackson plays Kate in the play and hopes it opens people's eyes about the people who can't leave prison and what it's like for those who can come home.
Everything has changed around you. The people around you have changed. People are different. People have grown. People have left. And you're trying to be this new person in a new world, and no one sees you as that person.
The play is one of two productions that the Prison Performing Arts Alumni Association is putting on this week at Greenfinch Theater and Dive Bar. Don't Be a Hero, Thank You is about a woman who returns home after a decade in prison and is based on playwright Katie Lehman's own journey. In prison, she was depressed and thought her life was over. Then she discovered the arts program.
You start kind of doing self-discovery archaeology and like, okay, well, I'm feeling something. What is the name of this feeling? Well, maybe we should write a poem about it. Or I need to get my feelings out.
Lehman was released in 2021 after serving about 10 years for bank robbery. She started writing the play to work through those feelings.
Just like a baby cries, you know, its first few moments, you know, in the delivery room, you cry out to the world and you just feel everything so much more intensely than, you know, people that are used to it. And so the play was a way for me to work through all of that.
Rachel Tibbetts is the artistic director for Prison Performing Arts. She says the plays take on serious topics without dwelling on the playwrights' and actors' pain.
I don't think that we have to dig into our own trauma to make art. It's good to see, you know, that we're kind of moving away from that.
That's why there are moments of humor throughout the play, like when Jackson describes what it's like to exert her femininity while in prison, how women are often given men's clothing and then have to make adjustments to look and feel more feminine.
Then, when I got a pair of tight jeans and some eyeshadow, I felt like a total sex worker.
The play Go Before I Do was written by Hazel McIntyre, who served about 2 years for writing fake checks. She says it's not about incarceration, nor is it completely based on her own experiences. It's about a woman who tries reconciling with her dad at a bar after years apart and the death of her mother. David Nonnemaker and Jocelyn Padella are two of the stars of the show.
I think you have forgotten something about the way your shoes point or your heels clack when you're walking. Has made you forget what you're made of, where you came from, and who you are.
Dad, my life has changed.
McIntyre wrote the play after moving to upstate New York. She says it's meant to resonate with anyone trying to create new experiences with loved ones, and an ode to Van Buren, Missouri, her old town.
I didn't feel isolated when I was in the moment. It was when I was gone. For those that are leaving home, but those people shaped you. And shaping can come in good and bad, but we got to hold on to that.
Padella's monologue near the end of the show sums that all up.
You know that town with the one yield sign? It taught me more than I ever thought it would.
McIntyre says a place isn't just about the trees or the house you lived in, but the feeling you get from it. And you can always return to that place wherever you are. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our David Cazares edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.